This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Well, when it's game time, it's Tully time, and Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey is best enjoyed with great friends during big games. So, for the Knicks' January 20th matchup against the Pelicans, 98.7 ESPN giving away a grand prize VIP reservation for six with food and beverage at Slancha at 304 Bowery in Manhattan. We've qualified listeners all week for a chance to win, and we've chosen Stephen Kolditz from Woodbridge, New Jersey. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Congratulations to Stephen. Enjoy a good meal on us. It's time now for the Mike Tannenbaum Report, brought to you by Cityside Medical, the ED specialist, and we welcome in our good friend Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, we're going to start off with what happened with the Giants. It seemed to the three of us on this side that they had no choice. It's almost as if Joe Judge fired himself over the last couple of weeks. Do you agree?
I think there's something to that, because my sense of it was the last thing the Mara or the Tisch family wanted to do was to fire Joe Judge. And I think one of the more fundamental questions that you ask yourself, and I've been in those rooms, guys, is, you know, would the December New York Giants beat the August New York Giants? Obviously, that's a really difficult question to answer because of the quarterback situation. But they were a team that was obviously going the wrong way. The 11-minute press conference certainly didn't help. But my sense of it was, like, these are obviously tradition-rich families, tradition-rich organization. The last thing they wanted to do was to go down this road. But I think at the end of the day, the honest and sober choice of it was we just didn't have many alternatives, and we had to have more of a global reset than just to let Dave Gettleman walk off into the sunset.
How familiar are you with the guys that they've interviewed, and do you think anybody's got an inside track?
You know, I know some more than others. You know, you certainly want to look at pedigree. You know, someone like a Joe Ortiz coming from the Baltimore Ravens. You know, that to me is an organization that's been a top five organization for a couple decades. Ozzie Newsome, Eric DaCosta, they've done a great job. Adam Peters is somebody that's really well regarded in league circles. He was somebody that was with the Broncos, and now he's become John Lynch's right-hand man in San Francisco. A lot of respect for him. And there's a number of quality candidates. I think they've talked to a couple of people from Tennessee today. I think Tennessee, when you think about what's happened this year, guys, like, I think Vrabel's the coach of the year. I think John Robinson, their GM, is the executive of the year.
Would you keep Daniel Jones as the quarterback if you got this job as the GM?
I would do that, and I'd bring in at least one, probably two other, you know, pieces of competition, meaning I would try to sign Jimmy Garoppolo or maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I would draft somebody. And my speech to Daniel Jones, guys, is a very simple one. If you're the best player, you're going to play. And you may play here for a long time, or you may not even dress for a game when we get to the regular season. The pen is in your hands. You have to be much more consistent. You have to take care of the ball, and you have to be dramatically more durable. And if you do those things, you could be here for a while. But we are not handing you the job. Everything about our program is going to be about a meritocracy, and the best players will play.
It's so easy to say strip it down. But what are the cap ramifications of stripping it down? Can they do that?
Yeah, Don, I push back on that. I really do, from a number of examples. Most notably, the 1996 New York Jets won one game and spent more money than anybody. Parcells and Belichick walked in the door. I got hired in the formative years of my career. We won nine games that year. We were in the championship game the second year. Bill Belichick goes to New England, wins the Super Bowl in year two. This is, to me, a team that has a lot of good young pieces. Like, when Andy Reid walked through the door in Philadelphia, they knew they struck gold. If they hire the right coach, this team could be highly competitive in 2022 and compete in a meaningful way in 2023. I push back hard on the notion that you have to blow the whole thing up, because I've seen it countless times in my career.
Mike, what coaching news shocked you the most this week? Was there anyone that made you go, wow, did not see that one coming?
Yeah, I think the one that was surprising and to their own detriment was Houston. Like, if you're – and I've been in the meetings, guys, where you're trying to decide to keep a coach or not. Those are going on realistically from Halloween, Thanksgiving time. And I don't know in good conscience what in the world you're going to learn about David Culley in 3 days that you don't know since being around him every day since May. And because of the new league rules, Peter, there's a number of sort of requirements, multiple minority candidates – they've kind of slowed down the process. So I'm not saying they won't get a good candidate. And I think at the end of the day, they're going to hire an assistant from New England. But why would you do that? And if David Culley's trying to get another job or one of their assistants, why are you waiting three more days? I was disappointed in the timing of that.
I was sickened by what they've done to Culley and what they did to Wilf, because I think that's a reflection on the GM, Mike. And maybe you'll push back on this. You hire a guy, you gave the guy $22 million to coach 1 year, and you bang him after 1 year, and you didn't do a good job picking a coach then. It's got to be on you.
That's 100%. And I would push back on, what was your process when you hired David Culley, and what have you learned in those 12 months that we expect you to get a better result? So I totally agree with that, Mike. And candidly, like, given the roster he was given, you could say in some ways, in my opinion, they exceeded expectations. Oh, yeah. Davis Mills played some good football coming down the stretch.
Did you gain any more insight on the Brian Flores Tua Tagovailoa situation? Because to me, on the surface, you know, I know they had their problems, but given what Flores did over the last couple of years, it seemed like this is something that wouldn't be a reason to end a coach's tenure.
Yeah, I agree with that. And look, you know, good coaches are hard on their players. You know, Coach Belichick, I've had the great fortune of working for him twice in my career. He's really hard on players. He's really hard on the staff. But guess what? He made us all better. Mm-hmm. And Brian Flores had his own way of doing things. It obviously worked to have back-to-back winning seasons to, you know, sweep the Patriots. Got to give him a ton of credit. The owner came out publicly and said, hey, he signed with the front office, and they're moving on. I think Brian Flores in this cycle has a real chance of being a head coach. If not for whatever reason, he will be again soon. He's had too good of a track record in the formative years of his coaching career. And in terms of getting the most out of Tua, he did a lot of really good things this year. Their offense wasn't nearly as good as their defense, but I thought to the extent, like, to me, the essence of coaching, especially in football, guys, is how do you get the most out of your team with what you have? And their offense was hard to defend. Their RPOs, they're sort of like misdirection. I wouldn't build a team around Tua. I've said that publicly for 3 years. But for what they had to work with, I actually thought they did a reasonably good job.
Go ahead, Michael.
No, you go.
Just one more on the Giants, because you're so bullish on them and have been all year. You've got two first-round picks. Would you trade one of them for Wilson, the other compensation to New Orleans for Peyton? Would you do that, and can that be done?
Yeah, I would. This is really easy for me, Don. I am not getting off the phone with the Seattle Seahawks. I am going to make Russell Wilson a Giant, and I don't care if I have to overpay, because you can't overpay greatness. The day Russell Wilson walks through the door, it makes the whole organization better. He transforms everything. There's something known as an aura of association. We saw it with Tom Brady. All the success they had on the field, they had just as much off the field. I lived it with Brett Favre. When Brett Favre became a Jet, guys, the groundskeeper was better. The food tasted better. Everybody wanted to play. Like, when you have a franchise quarterback in New York, people will walk there. And you guys know better than I do. Derek Jeter, Tom Coughlin, Eli Manning, Phil Simms, Bill Parcells. When you're a champion in New York, there's nothing like it. And Russell Wilson, in a very meaningful and realistic way, gives you a chance to win every year. So if you tell me it costs a second-round pick or James Bradbury, I don't care. I could go find James Bradbury. I could come up with a second-round pick and trade back somewhere. But if I could get Russell Wilson and get 3 to 5 years out of me, I am hard-pressed to figure out why that's not a really good decision if you're the New York Giants.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I apologize if this is uncomfortable. You've been successful in the places where you've been a GM. Do you want the Giant job?
I want to be your guys' teammate. You know, I'm super happy where I am, Mike, and I never say never about my future, but for me to go back, I would have to go back with people in a very unique situation. And I've really leaned into this and appreciate all the opportunities, including being on with you guys every week.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so of the six games, what's your best pick? If you were a gambler, which you're not, what game do you like?
You know, I think New England has a real chance to win, and here's why. Here's the most ironic thing about the weekend, guys. First of all, in the game that New England lost at home against Buffalo, they averaged 5.5 yards a carry. I think of all the things you can fix in season, your run defense isn't one of them. I expect New England with the better offensive line, even with Isaiah Wynn being out, better running backs. And to me, the most ironic thing, guys, is this. Buffalo is really built as a dome team. Like, great quarterback, great passing game. They're not really built for their elements. They need to be bigger in their running game. Their run blocking is okay. Their run defense is really bad. They're really, ironically, more of a dome team. So looking at what the conditions seem to be tomorrow night, I think New England has a real chance.
Over your left shoulder, is that an Alabama helmet?
No, proudly, Mike, that's the University of Massachusetts. I mean, you know, for those of them that can't play at Alabama, they go to UMass.
Mike, who's got more pressure, Prescott or Stafford?
Oh, Matt Stafford. Let's keep one thing in context, guys. Jared Goff, with all his deficiencies, went to the Super Bowl. They gave up on him and two first-round picks. And our great friend Dan Orlovsky has as much on this game as Matt Stafford, because he will never hear the end of it if they don't win. And here's something else that's strange, guys. When you get 5 minutes, look at the road and home splits of the Arizona Cardinals, one of the more statistical, aberrational trends you'll ever see. They are a much better road team than they are at home. And I think Kyler Murray is like the great equalizer. Von Miller, Aaron Donald, they may do a lot of great things, but I think Kyle Murray may make one or two plays to send them home. And if they do, I just think there's so much pressure on Matt Stafford because of everything they gave up for him. And if he can't deliver and win a playoff game, that could be his legacy.
Mike, great stuff. Enjoy the weekend. It should be a fun weekend. Six really interesting games. We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it and look forward to next week.
All right, absolutely. All right, that's the Mike Tannenbaum Report, brought to you by Cityside Medical, the ED specialist. Now, it's going to be very curious, Donald LaGreca. Peter has a 3-point pick on the Patriots, and Mike kind of really gave him a bad pick last week. Is he going to be scared off that pick now because of what Mike just said?
Listen, if I know Peter, absolutely.
Wow.
Now, he might have to just stomach it and do it, but he's not feeling good right now.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. Our always widely anticipated, long-awaited pick segment coming up. It's so tight right now. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.